And with Robert and Micah, we kind of helped head it up, but we want to pay particular expressions of gratitude to Karen Kaplan and for Kevin for helping to set up and do all the stuff that they did to help make this happen.
Yeah.
Karen brought all the tablecloths, Kevin did all the helps through the setup, brought coffee. So thank you very, very much. As you know, this is an event that is meant to express our concern about the no on recall. So most of the contribution that we accumulate is going to that effort, but it's also going to Huff, that guy right there's organization. Because, as you know, Robert's very laid back. He's not much of an activist, but nevertheless. So I want to say something, and I'm inviting Robert to talk about an issue that's important to homelessness issues.
About 3 or 4 months ago, I
began under the sponsorship of Conscience in Action, which I do basically with Steve Blage, something called Bagels and Bikes. There's some flyers over there. What we do is on Saturday around noon to two, Louise and I get on our bikes with peanut butter, cream cheese, bagels that we get, and we go around and we meet homeless people, and we say, are you hungry? Would you like something to eat? And it's been a really interesting experience. I would love to get some more people involved in it. I think it'd be pretty cool if we could do this more than just one day a week. I personally think the bagelry, which now gives us the bagels, they seem to be really happy about this. I think they feel really good about what they're doing, so they might even contribute more. So if you know anybody who's got a bike and would enjoy learning more about this, you're welcome to, of course, take a flyer, contact us, etc. And basically, any money that we accumulate pays, the bagels are free, but we buy peanut butter and cream cheese and water. So that's what we take around. And we've been taking around the feminine hygiene stuff as well when we have it. And socks. Socks come to us from the Association of Faith Communities and from Hadesh Amenu, the synagogue. So love to see more people involved in that. And Robert wants to talk about the homeless union.
Hey, Phil. You mentioned that there's a restroom back here for folks.
I didn't hear you.
You might mention that there's a restroom back here for
folks. Yeah, sorry. There's that restroom back there, kitchen.
So, first, a word or two about Mark here. I first met Mark in 1988. When a city council, which was masquerading as progressive, similar to I think what we have now in some respects, although I'm supporting council members who are fighting the recall for sure, but we had people who were being arrested for serving free food. And Mark composed a song specifically concerned about that. I'm not sure if you're going to sing that one tonight.
I don't have that with me.
Uh-oh. That's okay. Sandra Larringer was arrested and tried for serving what you were doing, Phil, which is giving away bagels and cream cheese. It wasn't bagels and cream cheese, but it was sandwiches, peanut butter and jelly sandwiches at town clock, up as part of homeless protests. And she was a merchant. She was an antiques merchant. I don't know if she's still alive or still in town, but she caused quite a hubbub. She was celebrated as far away as India and in Indian newspapers and in Bombay, and really embarrassed the great progressive Marty Wormhout, who was mayor then, who was one of the people who had her arrested for this kind of behavior. But Mark composed a great song about it called 999 Points of Light, which took off on the Elder Bush's 1,000 Points of Light, which all you geriatric people may remember. Maybe some of the youngsters too, I don't know.
See if it's in my case, otherwise it's on one of the CDs.
Is it? It's a good song. I sing it occasionally, and I've played it on my radio show. I do a show twice a week, which I'm going to be recording, and I'll be playing the, this, making it available online with Mark's permission, if he's up for that.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been stealing his songs for so long that it's not going to be a... probably shouldn't ask permission.
If I forget the words, he remembers it. So you'll be out there, you'll cue me.
I can try, yeah. So what I'm here for as well is supporting the, opposing the recall, but also supporting a proposed lawsuit against the city, which, whether it's led by Cummings with a so-called progressive majority that doesn't seem to be progressing very fast on homeless issues, or by some other less progressive people. And I've got to tell you, I'm no fan of the people running who are going to be taking the places of these folks. They also have gone after homeless people in the past. Hopefully they've changed their stripes. We'll see if that's happening. Fitzmaurice, Byers, and Lane. Of course, I haven't got anything to say about Golder. Nothing to say about her. But there's a possibility of a lawsuit, which could be put together if a team is organized for that purpose. And Alicia Cole is ready to lead that team, but what we need is people to work on that, and that is what a part of this donation is going to, a smaller part of the donation, trying to get together a team to do what we did before, which is essentially do what was done in Idaho, in essence, to get a precedent in California that will stop the city from harassing homeless people outside, stealing their property, and so forth. Not new to any of you. So that's it. If you're interested in literature on the issue, it's the final white flyer at the end of that table there. The vote no on the recall table at the end. And take it away, Mark.
Hey. Well, this first song is about a revolution, but not the one you're thinking. It's about an electronic revolution. And, well, you'll get it. There's a part for you to sing, too. I took a song that became an anthem of the 60s, and I just changed the words a little bit. It was a Steppenwolf song. Anybody remember Steppenwolf?
Yeah, man.
Mars Bonfire. John Kay, who went on to run for... I think he ran for Senate. John Kay... Anyway, he was the guy that sang this, so I'm gonna do what I did with it now, and I'll cue you when it's your part. Get your modem running. Information high. To the network, watch the screen and type away. Yeah, email's gonna make it happen. Take the world in cyberspace. Fire up the PC and plug in to the interface. I like fiber optics. Wireless connections. Internet the world. And plug in to the interface. And like a true techno child, I keep on all of it filed. Save it in a flash and hope it doesn't break. Here comes your part now. Born to be wired. Come on, let me hear you. Network. Watch the screen and type away.
people asking, did I get permission to do that? Better to ask forgiveness than permission. I know, you know, that's not fair use. You didn't comment on the original. Shop talk, shop talk. I said, I don't care. Let them come after me. It'll be good publicity. Exactly. Now I sympathize with the homeless when I see him on the evening news. Somewhere there must be a place where they can park their weary shoes. Maybe a camp in the country or a building on the edge of town. But that shelter there across the street is only gonna get me down. 'Cause everybody should have a home. Everybody must be fed. Everyone has a right to a roof and below it a nice warm bed. Now we applaud your noble efforts at guarding their collective health, and we'll gladly give you funds and food, long as you can put them somewhere else. You see, I don't want to have to lock my door to be inside, safe and sound. This neighborhood will go to pot with the likes of them around. It's no fun out there in the cold. Yes, I know just how they feel, but I just can't bear to see a hungry face when I'm eating a nice warm meal. Though everybody should have a home, everybody must be fed. Everyone has a right to a roof. Everyone has a right to a roof. And below the nice warm, we applaud your noble efforts. So we applaud your noble efforts at guarding their collective health, and we'll gladly give you funds and food, long as you can put them somewhere else. Now I've got a friend who owns a store about a half a block away. Every year she donates goods and money to United Way, but she thinks it's bad for business to have the homeless walking by. She says, why not send them south for the winter so they can stay warm and dry? Oh, everybody should have a home. Everybody must be fed. Everyone has a right to a roof and below it a nice warm bed. Well, we applaud your noble efforts at guarding their collective health, and we'll gladly give you funds and food, long as you can put them somewhere else. So please understand our position. It's not the way it looks. We want them housed, but out of sight. There are zoning laws on the books. Long as we can clear our conscience and preserve our civic pride, we'll give our consent, even pay the rent on a place where they can hide. Oh, everybody should have a home. Everybody must be fed. Everyone has a right to a roof. Everyone has a right to a roof and below in a nice warm bed. We applaud your noble efforts. We applaud your noble efforts at guarding their collective health. Guarding their collective health. We'll gladly give you funds and food. We'll gladly give you funds and food, long as you can put them
somewhere else.
We'll gladly give you funds and food, long as you can put them somewhere else. The thing about, topical songs is about 75% of the stuff that I write becomes passé, goes out of date. And the other 25% I wish would go out of date. So I wouldn't have to sing it, you know. I mean, I've got, well, let's see, I might as well do this now.
And you know, when I get the urge, because there's so much material now, it's really tough. It's you can't keep up with it. You can't do it. I mean, I just quick grab a crossword puzzle and do that because it feels more satisfying. Either that or I throw up all over myself because at least I feel better afterward. You know? Now I gotta sing this song. This is another parody. If you know the song, Brother, Can You Spare a Dime? It was from the Depression in the 1930s. And this is Donald, Don't You Know You're Fired? Instead of the other title. So anyway, I've got some of the original lines in here too. It's always fun when you can keep some of the original lines and it's relevant. So I wrote this before 2017. He used to tell us he was building a dream, making money in gobs when there was earth to move or big hotels. He was always there handing out jobs but not paying people. Then he sullied all the people he hired. Those immigrants did the work. Why should he himself not be fired for being such a jerk? Once they built his towers to the sun, those drug-dealing rapists he hired. What the devil was it made you run? Donald, don't you hear you're fired? He's a proto-fascist, this we know. Wears his mustache on top. He's a sexist, racist, has to go. He's the one we have to stop. Thinks with all his loot, he's got us trumped. Full of himself and doodly squat. He should get the boot, he should be dumped. Thinks he's the one with the shot. I'd say, don't you remember? We called you out. In the courtrooms, you're mired. Bankruptcies and lawsuits make us shout. Donald, don't you hear? You're fired. Now, there's about 275 more verses to that. You see, that's the problem, is it just, you know, there's no way you can keep up with it. You can't write fast enough. All right, well, I'm going to do tune. A song in Yiddish, and that's the language of Eastern European Jews that came over from Poland and Russia. And people are always asking me, how come I know a little bit of Yiddish? Well, I was raised by my maternal grandparents in their home, and they spoke English when they didn't want me to understand. Well, it's funnier if you heard the English. You know, their parents who came over, and then when they came over, had a hard time making a living, and that's what this song is about. It says, I'm a little tailor, I work day in, day out, everything's just great, don't even bother to ask. But if you do ask, and they say, tailor, do you make enough money with your needle to have butter on your bread? He says, no, I don't make hardly anything. And I have to eat my bread plain because butter's too expensive.
And the next verse is, I'm a little shoemaker. Everything's just fine, but, you know, say, does anybody lend you any money when you're come up short? No, nobody lends me anything. I'm going around barefoot myself. And then I'm a little tinsmith. And I'm on everybody else's roof, fixing their roofs, but my own house is leaking. And then the last one is, I'm a shopkeeper or a grocer. And, well, say, do you have, in your grocery shop, do you have raisins and almonds, which was a delicacy at that time, Rochingus and Mondlin? He says, no, I got 2 cents worth of nothing, and I have to put up with it. So that's what the song says here. It's about 100 years old. I was very young when I wrote it. Just making sure you're awake. Okay, here we go. Benet me in a Schneider, let me pug ein, lustig und fröhlich und fein. Sorg mir Schneider, liebe Kerl und Gutter, gib dir nur du genug mein Freund mit Butter. Ich mache auch 2 Gilden mit der Dreier, es noch reicht, weil Butter ist zu teuer. Jai, 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 didi, didi, dann. Oh, by the way, that's your part. Can you try that? Here we go. Keine Gitte nur das, ich bin a Schuster, gehe ich packe vor das. Bin ich mir a Blechenroll, leib ich mir Tag bei Tag ein, lustige Brille zu fein. Sag mir Blechen, wie groß ist bei dir die Neut? Hast du Balkes, hast du kein Reut? Sitz und klack, bei jenem fremden Dächer, bei mir im Sturm, rennt von allen Lächer. Jai, 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 didi, didi, dam. Jai, 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 didi, didi, dam. Bin ich mir a Kremerl, bin ich mir a Kremerl. Lehr ich mir Tag bis Tag ein, lustig und fröhlich und fein. Sag mir Kremer, so hast du mit was zu handeln. Hast du in Kremer, Rochingus und Mandeln? Ich hab ihn können, fahrst wie große Schreine, schlepp dem Dallas, ohne Fetzen weiter. One of the other things I've been doing is collecting songs in different countries. Went to Ireland a couple times, brought some songs back. I thought I'd do one of those now. And this is a song about a town in southwestern County Cork, Skibbereen. Anybody been there to Skibbereen? Have been there? Okay. There are monuments all over that town up for people who left or died of starvation in the 1840s, 1850s. And this song, well, I was turned on to it. The first time I heard it was Liam Neeson sang it in the Michael Collins movie, if you saw that movie. He sings the song. And it didn't quite hit me then until I heard Sean O'Shea, who's a national treasure there. I actually got to meet him. A pub owner liked what I was doing and gave me one of his CDs, Sean O'Shea's CDs. And this was on it, and I liked his singing of it so much that I decided to do an arrangement and
So this is Skibbereen. Oh, Father dear, I oftentimes hear you speak of Erin's Isle. Her lofty seams, her valleys green, her mountains rude and wild. They say she is a lovely place wherein a prince might dwell. So why did you abandon her? The answer to me tell. My son, I loved our native land with energy and pride, until the blight came on the crops and sheep and cattle died. The rent and taxes were to pay, and I could not them redeem. And that's the cruel reason why I left old Skibbereen. December day, the landlords and the sheriffs came to drive us all away. They set my roof on fire with their demon yellow spleen, and that's another why I left old Skibbereen. Your mother too, God rest her soul, fell on the snowy ground. Her precious life's possessions, they scattered all around. She never away to life's eternal dream. She found a quiet resting place in dear old Skibbereen. And you were only 2 years old and feeble was your frame. I could father's name. So I wrapped you in a blanket in the dead of night unseen. And I heaved a sigh and bade goodbye to dear old Skibbereen. It's well I do remember year of 48, when we arose with Erin's boys to fight against our fate. I was hunted through the mountains as a traitor to the queen, and that's another reason why I left old Skibbereen. Oh, Father dear, the day will come when justice loud will call. land beneath our flag of green. And loud and high we'll raise the cry, remember Skid Green.
But since I almost forgot that other one, I figured I'd spare you. This leads us to I'll tell you what. I'll do this first. Through a capo, contraindicated. Don't try this at home. But this is a song by Blind Willie McTell. It was originally recorded in 1927 on Biograph, I think. And he was rediscovered during the folk music revival in the 1950s and re-recorded it. It's kind of my version of it. He didn't really quite sing it like this, but. And again, I'm not blind either, so I'm only playing half of what... I swear you had to be blind to play this as much as he did, as well as he did on the 12-string. He played a 12-string, too. But this is Statesboro Blues.
McTell,
it's swell. Nobody was alive during that Mattel commercial, okay? Well, let's just cross that one out for the next show. Okay, so I'll put this down for a second here. And that was a blues song. You know, Bill Brunsey once was asked if his blues songs were folk music. And he thought for a minute, and then he said, well, I ain't never heard no horses singing. So it got me to thinking, and it's kind of a long-running debate as to what an actual authentic folk song is. You know, what the definition is and what the parts that have, I mean, what will qualify it as an actual folk song. Okay, and my definition is we just don't know who wrote it. It didn't fall out of the sky, somebody wrote it, you know, but we forgot this. Or it was written by Anonymous, who must be getting a lot of royalties, that's all I can say. But I decided, and then Sing Out magazine ran a bunch of columns addressing this issue as what a folk song actually is. Anybody familiar with Sing Out magazine? Okay, that people know. And I thought, well, I'll add my 2 cents and try to resolve this whole thing. And so I wrote this song. I have to wear my glasses because it's a scholarly work. Okay. Okay, so this is called What's a Folk Song? Come listen, friends, I ask you now to ponder this with me. What constitutes a folk song and its authenticity? I'll tell you now the answer and not leave you in suspense. To end this controversy, please allow me to commence. To be a folk song, it must tell a story from the past, but have a chorus 5 words long or it will never last. The writer must be dead at least 100 years or more, unless it is Anonymous, in that case 3 or 4. The tune should be traditional, right down to the last line, but have a lilting melody or it's not genuine. It must originate from somewhere no one can pronounce, and should be cataloged by child, that's capital C with a D on the end, or I don't think it counts. It must be simple, yet profound and singable by all. But if it is from Georgia, you must sing it with a drawl. The words don't have to make much sense, like fi-dee-diddle-dare-oh. So long as it is sung with gusto, no one's gonna care. Thank you. The words in tune must always scan so singers can rehearse. Although, of course, it has to rhyme 4 times within each verse. The key's not so important now, of this I must admit. So long as every note is one, a 12-year-old can hit. To qualify, it must be more than 7 stanzas long, and preferably sung by one much younger than the song. The subject of the tale may meet a terrible demise, but you know you're on to something real if everybody dies. The order of the words can torture be the whole song through, but please be sure to sing them like they say something to you. And if it's a translation, it must rhyme at any cost. Yes, even if the meaning has been compromised or lost. The song should tell of life and love and times that are long gone, but have a lasting meaning for today that will live on. It should not be political or bring a body doom, with notable exceptions like Jack Tar or Shula Groom. Now, if you use an instrument, it must be made of wood and light enough to carry, or it won't do you no good. In no case can it be electric, need I even say. So anything that must plug in should just be thrown away. So now that we are all agreed on what folk songs comprise, we now can sing a song together, knowing it complies. We have eliminated some. Let's see, what does that leave? I sent it to them, and I think they printed. I think Faith Patrick printed in her column. You may remember Faith Patrick?
Yes.
She was the grandmother of the Folk Music Club for many, many years up in San Francisco. Lived to be 98 years old. She was still singing when I saw her in hospice, actually. We did some singing together. But Utah Phillips called her the Fort Knox of folk music, because she had so many songs that she would throw at us. Okay,
Want to do Pelican Bay song?
Oh my goodness, I haven't done that one in a long time. Yeah. It's I don't think I would remember most of it. It's been too long. But it is a song. It's called The Ballad of Jesse Castillo. It's on one of the CDs, actually. If you want to hear it, it's about this Chicano that was killed in the Pelican Bay prison yard, because he got in the wrong place at the wrong time. And wish I could remember it for you, but
I used to be a member.
Oh yeah, do you remember that incident? It was quite some time ago. It was probably about 20, 25 years ago. However, I will do this song. I wrote a song about the white supremacist. Why would I do that, you might think? I'm glad you asked. Because what happened was, now this fellow's name is Greg Withrow. And in 1987, he was one of the leaders of the Aryan Student Union, I think it was called. The Aryan Student Union, I think it was at American River College up in Sacramento, and they were beating up people of color and making all kinds of nasty statements about blacks and Jews and that sort of thing. They claimed responsibility for a lot of mayhem. And in the spring of 1987, he fell in love with a woman. And when he started to feel love for the first time, he started realizing that what he was doing was wrong. And he went on Good Morning America and Oprah Winfrey, and it was in People magazine, interviewed about how he'd been turned around by feeling love for the first time. And I thought, well, that gets a song. Because I figured this guy was steeped in racism and violence and could be turned around by love. Maybe there's hope for the rest of the world. Well, I used to preach white power and that freedom could be won by teaching kids to hate blacks and Jews and how to fire a gun. It was Aryan revolution and a race war to the death. If it hadn't been for Sylvia, I'd never caught my breath. But I felt love can no longer return. Love's a long, hard road, but it's not too late to learn. Used to stand for violence, but now I know the score. And I don't want to fight for hate no more. It was from a very early age that I was taught to hate the mixing of the races and the power of the state. I grew to be a leader of white supremacy. But now the Nazis and the Klan are not the way for me, because I felt love and can no longer return. Love's a long, hard road, but it's not too late to learn. Used to stand for violence, but now I know the score, and I don't want to fight for hate no more. Of a woman is a very healing thing. Well, it made this angry man to laugh and his empty heart to sing. I began to feel for others what I felt for her so strong. It made me see that preaching hate and hurting folks was wrong. And now I felt love and can no longer return. Can no longer hurt someone because his skin is black. It's gonna be a long, hard road, but I have changed my ways. Love can do the same for you, and hope will shed its rays. When you feel love, you'll no longer return. Love's a long, hard road, but it's not too late to learn. You'll no more stand for violence once you know the score, and you won't want to fight for hate no more. No, I don't want to fight for hate no more. We're not going to fight for hate no more. Well, not quite.
Okay.
Unless you need it. Do we need a break in?
We're going to take an intermission. But...
yeah, let me just do a couple more things here. Or else I won't fit them in the second set. So we're good. I'm going to do something in Ladino. Ladino is the language of Jews who were expelled from Spain. They were preserved it for 500 years. It's basically like Spanish if you're a 500-year-old Jewish person from Spain. There's a lot of, and Portugal, that's right, yes. In fact, let me tell you what happened was my father's family, see, I'm half, I got the Yiddish on one side, and then the other half I have the Sephardic, so I'm Ashkephardic. That's half and half. And my father's family, I haven't traced way back to the 1560s, they were expelled from England in 1288, and then they were expelled in 1492, which is an easy year to remember, right? Because it's the year the Indians discovered Columbus. And he was the one who was lost, right? Can't forget. Not only that, but we know that he was Jewish because his wife was on the boat. You couldn't have asked directions. You had to plunge. Okay, so... by the way, there's a very scholarly book about Columbus' Jewish roots. It's not just a joke. And they went then to Portugal, and they were expelled from Portugal in 1496. Just my family, all the other Jews were allowed to stay. tell. Okay. So they went. So here's how they. Here's how I trace it. They went. They went England, Spain, Portugal, Holland, Morocco,
Turkey.
Not my family. Yeah. So and then London, and then New York. And that was on Tuesday. Yeah, they were moving fast. It was like, you know, that's why we Jews have one word that means both goodbye and hello at the same time, right? Shalom. Because we don't want people to know whether we're coming or going. And we don't know either. So that's, okay, this is the song of exile. It says, the trees cry for rain and the mountains cry for air, just as my eyes cry for you, my love. I turn over again and ask myself, why I must die in this foreign land. So we know that it's a song of exile. It was written in Ladino. It was a very popular song amongst the Jews of Salonika, Greece, actually. There was a very large Jewish community there until World War II, and then most of them were destroyed. So, like I'm saying, it's this one's mostly Spanish, you know, and sometimes they have a Greek word in there or a Turkish word in there because that's where they went. Myself a glass of water in case I is there something back there? It doesn't have to be water, you know. It can be water is the strong stuff. It carries whales and ships.
I brought wine.
But water is the wrong stuff. Don't let it get past your lips.
Over here.
It rots your boots and soaks your suits. Puts aches in all of your bones. Dilute the stuff with whiskey, I, or leave it well alone.
This has lemon in it.
Lemon! Oh, good. All right. Thank you. Okay, I'm going to do one more song, then we'll take a break, and there's refreshments, and people you might not have met before and might want to know better. I also have some CDs here. If you didn't believe the song the first time, you can actually take it home and hear it and see that I actually did it. So. I have, let's see, another very funny subject to write about, the Middle East. And my mother actually lives in Israel, so I do go there on occasion. She's 92 now. But back in the early 1980s, I was searching around to try to figure out how to write a song. It was so serious, it was hard for me to, you know, get through it. And finally, someone sent me an article in the San Jose Mercury that said, Israeli nudists have Egyptian cops retreating. And I thought, I should probably read this article because it could be the angle I need for my song. So it seems that what happened in a disputed area with Egypt, the Taba beach border above the Gulf of Aqaba, the Israelis established a clothing optional beach. And people were parading around just as they'd been given birth by their mothers. Well, I assumed a little bigger than that. But anyway, the commander saw that his men were becoming infatuated with the nude bathers on the Israeli side, so he ordered the border to be redrawn 100 yards farther south, out of view. So that you can see that by virtue of the fact that they took off their clothes, the Israelis gained 100 yards of territory. Which, regardless of who won or lost, I felt and still feel was vastly preferable to use of deadly force. Not only that, but some football teams might want to take note, because 100 yards is a significant gain in that sport. And it would only change the nature of the game slightly. So I decided I would write this song as a peace proposal to the rest of the world to follow suit, or unsuit, if you will. That's in there too. All the jokes are in there. Write the jokes first, and then make it rhyme. Don't do it the other way. Anyway, so I wrote this. The song was originally entitled "The Coast Is Clear," but since that line doesn't appear in the song at all, and "Take Off Your Clothes" does, I kept that title. And when people want to hear it, they yell up to me on stage, "Take off your clothes," and then the rest of the audience wonders what I'm going to do next. So, tonight, I'm going to do the song. It's all true. I couldn't make this stuff. You could pay me $1 million and I couldn't make this stuff up. However, if you want to pay me $1 million, I will make something up for you. Now the Israelis have a nudist camp on Taba, right by Egypt on the Gulf of Aqaba. Bathers sunning on the beach were dangerously within reach of Muslim guards patrolling near the spot. Now it says to cover up in the Koran, but those Hebrews hung it out to get a tan. So for fear of getting heated, the Egyptians just retreated, which provoked this novel thought for a peace plan. Take off your clothes to those you oppose. Be well exposed to your foes and strike a pose. No need to hurl a rock across the fence. If your enemy is being real attentive, strip to the butt, sting out your duff, and stretch your stuff. The sight of muff will be enough to halt the tuck. Forget about an armored probe, you'll get more room if you disrobe. Relations will improve around the globe. Now the colonel of the Egyptian police platoon made this comment as he peered beyond the dune. All these sappers on the Sinai really look a sight to mine eye, though I think we better take some action soon. As he turned, he saw the men of his fine crew, field glasses trained on each attractive Jew.
So he went and gave the order to redefine the border. 100 yards down farther from the view, take off your clothes, those you oppose. Be well exposed to your foes and strike a pose. You can unveil a devastating offensive. Lord knows it's healthier than war and less expensive. Strip to the buffs, dig out your duff and stretch your stuff. The sight of muck will be enough to halt the tough. Forget about an armored probe, you'll get more room if you disrobe. Relations will improve around the globe. Now here's the surest way to end a running feud. Simply approach your adversary in the nude. If he or she's approved, they'll think it's lewd and move away. Who knows, they might be in the mood. You win either way. So if you're fighting and you just can't take it, you just might try your luck at standing naked. Before they have another riot, Northern Ireland should try it. The whole world could ease its tensions if we'd only undertake it. I propose this brand new cure for hot disputes. Have the warring parties meet in birthday suits. Imagine how a summit conference might progress. Formalities abandoned as each delegate undressed. No harm getting back to bare essentials. World leaders must admit it has potential. Four uncovered, one can make appeals to what the other side reveals and see they're not so different after all. Take off your clothes to those you oppose. Be well exposed to your foes and strike a pose. No need to hurl a rock across the fence. If your enemy is being real attentive, strip to the box, sing out your duff and stretch your stuff. The sight of muck will be enough to halt the duck. Forget about an armored probe, you'll get more room if you disrobe. Relations will improve around the globe. Oh yes indeed, relations can improve all over the globe. Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
Thank you.
You should tell us too that not only was a beautiful, interesting song, but 2 weeks after he had a hernia.
Right on, dude.
That was more than you needed to know. Yes, I had a hernia. I decided to get it fixed so it wouldn't become a hysnia, because those are a lot worse.
Anyway, there's a little bit of food back there.
Well, I'm going to do a song that's known in the south of the border and in every Spanish-speaking country because it was written in Spain about 300 years ago. And it got brought over with immigrants from that country. And it's a favorite of the farm workers of the UFW, so some people might know it. Says the colors, we love all the colors because of the colors of the fields blooming in the spring, the colors of the birds flying, and the rainbow breaking its light in colors, and for that we love all the colors. Now the second verse is about all the different sounds that barn animals make, and I bet you didn't know that they make different noises in Spanish than they do in English. They do. They're very smart animals. They learn every language. Mm-hmm.
cock-a-doodle-doo. I have a Hebrew song where they crow actually, and even in differently in Hebrew. So, but anyway, you'll know which ones they are. Okay, so. Whatever going on, those nasal drip. It's not coronavirus, so we. So you might remember, some of you might remember, in the 1980s there was a television show called Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous. With I'm sure everybody watched that diligently. I watched it a couple of times. It was featuring Robin Leach, was the guy that narrated the whole thing. But it wasn't really what I wanted to project. So I rewrote the title to Lifestyles of the Poor and Nameless.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's Lifestyles of the Poor and Nameless. Sleeping on the city streets, lifestyles of the poor and nameless, begging for a bite to eat, lifestyles of the poor and nameless, seldom seen on your TV, lifestyles of the poor and nameless, coming soon to you and me. I spend my time collecting cans while you're out working on your cans on the lifestyles of the poor and nameless, sleeping on a city street, lifestyles of the poor and nameless, begging for a bite to eat, lifestyles of the poor and nameless, seldom see on your TV. Lifestyles of the poor and nameless, coming soon to you and
Now in the city there's always room for the ethnic population boom. The mountain pot boils past the brim while the people's future's looking grim on lifestyles of the poor and neighbors sleeping on a city street. Lifestyles of the poor and neighbors begging for a bite to eat. Lifestyles of the poor and neighbors silent scene on your TV. Lifestyles of the poor and neighbors coming soon to you and me.
Here we go now.
Lifestyles of the poor and neighbors.
I'm going to do another Irish song, and this is a song that got me in trouble with Britannia Arms. So we used to have a session there.
The Troubles.
Used to be there in Aptos. They moved to Capitola. Are they still there?
Yep.
Okay. Well, we had a session there every week, and not every week. Couple times a month, something like that. Irish sessions, you know, people join in, they play different tunes, jigs and reels, and occasionally sing something. And I did that a lot when I was in Ireland. I went to pubs, and I wouldn't play until, you know, because you start playing too early, it becomes about you, and they want to hear you, and I hear me all the time, I want to hear them, and I want to hear the authentic music that I didn't know I'd been singing for 40 years. I want to hear what they do, you know, different regions, been all over that Ireland. And the other reason why you don't start too soon is because if they like what you're doing, they're buying you pints, and you're obligated to drink those. So if you got a 4-hour session, you're going home, you're on with a gallon of Guinness in your gut. And you're driving on the left side of the road, too, which makes it even... And it's darker on the left side of the road. You might want to know. So, getting back to Britannia Arms. They didn't want to hear any rebel songs. And this is not a rebel song, but they did not like it. And they made fun of it because people at the bar told me later, oh, they're crying about the landlords again. Something else happened that I won't get into the details. That was very inappropriate when I had guests from out of town who were Irish ancestry. And I just told all the, I said, I'm not coming back to this session again because they tolerate us. You know, they're not really interested in what we're doing. You know, they make fun of it when we're not listening. Anyway, that was enough. I'm off my soapbox now. And I'm going to sing Slievegallen Braes. And Slievegallen Braes is a mountain range that's between Northern Ireland and the Republic up that way. And I did cross over that border quite a few times that I've traveled. But it's a song, again, about what happened middle to last part of the 19th century. As I went out walking one morning in May, the view of the fair valleys and the mountains again. Well, I was thinking on the flowers all gone down to decay. They had bloomed alone I went out in the morning with my dog and my gun.
To build a family for joy and for fun.
But those days are now behind me, and I must go away.
So farewell unto your money, money,
and gallant rays. How oft of an evening, with the sun in the west,
I rode hand in hand with the one I love best.
But those days of youth have vanished, and I must go away.
So farewell unto your money, money,
Schlingergallen Braes. Now comes the verse that the whole song turns on, and the pub turned on me. It's pretty mild compared to some of the other songs, but anyway, were it not for the lack of employment at home,
that caused we young sons of Ireland to roam,
it was those tyrannizing landlords who would not let us stay.
So farewell unto your money, money, Schlingergallen Braes.
As I went out walking one morning in May,
to view the fair valleys and the mountains so gay,
well, I was thinking on the flowers all gone down to decay.
Then through my long money, money,
Schlingergallen Braes.
But I was thinking on the flowers all gone down to decay. Then through my long money, money, Schlingergallen Braes.
Yeah.
Alright. Well, here's another historical song that I have some relatives and ancestors, my grandmother and her sister, who worked in the sweatshops, Lower East Side of Manhattan. And whenever I do this little medley I'm going to do for you of some of those sweatshop songs, I'm reminded of the story that my grandmother's sister told 70 years later about her first day with the overlock machine in Lower Manhattan in the garment district. And that her first day, she was about 15 years old, she was ruining all the garments, sewing right through them, needles breaking, blood spurting, you know, and she was crying. And her cousin Solly, luckily, was the foreman. And he made sure that he walked over and consoled her and told her, it's okay. Get the hang of it, you'll be good, you'll be good. And so it reminds me of my grandmother and my aunt, who both had that experience of working in the sweatshops. The first song is Eber Gleich mit Schlafen. It's Yiddish. No sooner do I go to bed, but I have to get up and go to work again. I want to cry out to God, why was I born to be a seamstress? She says. And it's quite a distance away, but if I get there 5 minutes late, they dock me a half day's pay.
Wow.
Yeah. And there's other verses to it, but I go right into another song called Svalta Schnee. It's snowing outside, the weather's terrible, but what does it matter, because here I am stuck in this room with a sewing machine, and all I do day and night is sew day and night. The third song might be a little more recognizable to some people, called Mein Ruheplatz, My Quiet Place. And it was written by Morris Rosenfeld, who was dubbed the poet of the sweatshops by Upton Sinclair, actually. And it says, don't look for me where the flowers are blooming, or where the birds are singing, or the fountains are spraying outside, because you won't find me out there. I'm a slave to my machine where tears run and teeth gnash. That is my quiet place. And this last verse, if you love me with a true love, lighten my heart of its burden and make sweet my quiet place. And I like to think that was kind of a proposal, and then they would move to the Bronx. Okay, half the people are from New York here. So, yeah, the Bronx was a place to move at that time, around the turn of the century. So, yeah, you know, I mean, like, everywhere I go, there's like half the audience is from New York. I might go to China, for instance, which I'm not going to do right now. But half the people would be from New York. And I always have to thank them, because if you were born in New York and you moved, you know, if you were born in New York and you didn't move, if everybody stayed there, that city would have a traffic problem. And now we really know. Okay. Did you know that there's more people that were born in New York living outside the city than there are actually living in the city now that were born there? Did you know that? I made it up. Hey. It sounds good, though. It sounds plausible, doesn't it? Okay, we'll take a trip. We'll go around with our clipboards and do a survey. Okay, I forgot what I was doing. Okay, no. Yes. Love me with a true love, lighten my heart of its burden, and make sweet my quiet place. So, first one, no sooner do I go to bed, but I have to get up. Eid al-Khlad l-Shlaan, Dachat shayin al-Shayin, Mit meine kranke Beine, Zuder ar-Bet-Gayin, Zu Gott will-Bainen, Mit der Kreuz gewein, Zu was ich bin geboren, an Eidern zu sein. Zu Gott will ich weinen, mit der Kreuz gewein. Zu was ich bin geboren, an Eidern zu sein. Komm spät zu der Arbeit, es ist doch weiter weg. Schlott man mir auf, vor a halber Tag. Zu Gott will ich weinen, mit der Kreuz gewein. Zu was ich bin geboren, an Eidern zu sein. Zu Gott will ich weinen, mit der Kreuz gewein. Zu was ich bin geboren, an Eidern zu sein. Svalta shnei, tog o nacht, nur ich nei, in Dreußen geht der Regen, in Dreußen geht der Regen, Unser Vater Schnee, a Schnee, Unser Vater Schnee, a Schnee. Weil meine junge Jungen Sehnen angeboren, sitzen dich ständig beim Genähen. Svalta Schnee, Tag und Nacht, Tag und Nacht, nur ich nehm, nur ich nehm. Nicht such mich wo, die mir den Grün, du findest mich dort nicht mein Schatz. Du lernst werken bei Maschinen, dort ist mein Ruheplatz. Dort ist mein Ruheplatz. Ich such mich wo Fontanen spritzen, Vince McDonald needs my chant. A shrubbed will say a Christian. Don't need my new boss. Don't need my new cross. They gathered up a lot, about 5,000 men, and put them in a stadium, and Victor Jara was one of them, and he was leading his songs until they killed him. And this is probably one of those songs. Let me make sure I have all the words.
You're talking about the writer killed or Allende killed?
Well, no, Allende was killed first, and then they bombed the palace, but then, no, it was Victor Jara was killed in very gruesome manner. But he was leading his fellow countrymen in singing, and those songs will stay with us forever. Come with me to the broad highway. Come along, we will be reborn, a new destiny. Come to the heart of the earth, we will germinate with her. We will leave hate behind, we will never return, and we will march to the sea. Your song is the river, the wind, and the sun, a harbinger of peace. Friend, your child is going, brother, your mother is going along the broad highway, galloping through the wheat fields, wind has arrived, and we will wake up those who are sleeping, who are silent. So, speaker Jara, vamos por otro camino. Actually, it was a 20, when was it? Yes, it was in November of 2016. And it's got a part that you can sing.
Yes,
sir. I'll put it down here where I can sing it. And yes, again, it is one of those songs that's still relevant, and I think for any time. It's called Keep the Faith, and it's a call repeat. And if you can repeat on the chorus each line, there'll be a space for you to do that. But then not on the actual verses, because then you'd be repeating everything I say, and you know how that is. So here's how it goes. Keep the faith, keep the faith. Don't lose heart, don't lose heart. Stand up straight, stand up straight. Do your part.
Stand together,
hold the line, the dark will pass, the sun will shine. Now at the verses here, I can see the storm coming, I can hear the voices rise, wheels are turning, engines humming. Road ahead before our eyes.
go. Keep the faith.
Keep the faith.
Don't lose heart.
Don't lose heart.
Stand up straight.
Stand up straight.
Do your part.
Do your part.
Stand together.
Stand together.
Hold the line.
Hold the line.
The dark will pass.
The dark will pass.
The sun will shine.
The sun will shine.
We are one. For peace and justice, we are one for human rights. We are one in the name of freedom, and we will keep aflame those lights. Keep the faith,
keep the faith.
Don't lose heart,
don't lose heart.
Stand up straight,
stand up straight.
Do your part.
Stand together.
Hold the line. The dark will pass. The sun will shine. Speak your truth. Speak your mind. Leave your doubts far behind. Be the person you can be. And we will stand in unity. Keep the faith.
Keep the faith.
Don't lose heart.
Don't lose heart.
Stand up straight.
Stand up straight.
Do your part.
Do your part.
Stand together.
Stand together.
Hold the line. Hold the line. The dark will pass.
The sun will shine.
The dark will pass. The sun will shine.
One more time.
The dark will pass.
Providing us with such a creative opportunity to feel the importance of compassion, kindness, and a better community. And
don't forget to vote.
And
you have
when I thanked Kevin before, I forgot to say too that Kevin's also responsible for the sound system that he brought. So thank you so much. If you'd like to sign up, Karen's holding a sign-up sheet. And again, Mark, thank you so much. And Robert, for facilitating this, that was the contact.
Hey, O'Brien!
Thank you. Thanks, Bill.
Thank Bill. Thank Bill.
Yes.
Hey, Bill!
I still have some CDs. If you want to lighten my load a little bit and bring some music home or buy some for a friend or maybe a new enemy. See me over at the table over here.